The scripture passage this morning that I'm going to read for you is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, and that starts on page 1642 in the Pew Bible if you want to follow along. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. How slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, let's pray once more as we look into this passage together. Mighty God, thank you for your work in our lives. What a glorious celebration that we can know that on Easter morning that tomb was empty, that death could not hold you down, that the one thing that seems to defeat every one of us does not have the power of defeat over us because Christ has conquered death. We thank you. And now may these words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Easter is very interesting because it is a joyous celebration, is it not? We're celebrating an empty tomb, that death has been conquered, that victory has been won by Jesus. We celebrate all these marvelous things, but sometimes it's hard for our hearts to turn quickly from Good Friday, from the suffering of the cross, to think, oh my goodness, well, I was feeling really bad for this guy a couple days ago, and now here today, I'm supposed to just be all joyously celebrating. And it may not be that simple in our minds, but I think emotionally it can be difficult to go. If you go to a Good Friday service and you are meditating on the cross, and then you come Easter Sunday and you're just shouting hallelujahs and praising, and there's lilies and it's beautiful. It's like from dark to light. Our hearts sometimes have a hard time making that transition. And I think that's okay, because that's exactly the same problem that the first witnesses of the resurrection had. They didn't know what to do with it either. Yes, there was joy, but there was a whole lot of other emotions going on as well. So the Easter story can feel sad, as we see. Jesus walks alongside these two. Many have theorized that this is Cleopas and his wife Mary. It may not be Mary, it may be somebody else. The other person is not named, but in the Gospel of John, Cleopas is mentioned that he's married to Mary. Mary married Cleopas. Okay. But what Jesus says, he says, what are you discussing as you were walking along? They stood still, their faces downcast. Now they've heard that Jesus is risen from the dead. Right? They're about to explain it. They're about to explain that these women came and they said that he was not there, that he was risen, that there was an angel, there was all this. But their faces are downcast because they're not quite sure what to make of all this news. Is this just wishful thinking? Is this just these women couldn't handle that Jesus is dead? I mean, we saw it happen. Are they just trying to feel bad? They just don't want to get their hopes up in case this is all a farce? But they're sad. Their faces downcast. But the Easter story can also feel perplexing. One of them, named Cleopas, who was married to Mary, asked Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, who he's talking to and doesn't realize, that we'll just point that out. He asks Jesus, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened in these days? Like, he just asked the guy who was crucified, spent hours somewhere fighting sin, conquering death. I don't know what that entails, what that looks like, but he went through it all. And he's saying, are you not aware of what's happened these last couple days? Like, were you just somewhere else, off on another planet? You're not from around here, are you, kid? No, actually. And then Jesus is like, okay, I'll play along. What things? Isn't this funny? What things are you talking about? A lot of things happen, right? Old Joe down the road broke his hip. I mean, what are you talking about? What things happened? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. It can be perplexing. So they say their interpretation of what's happened, right? He was a prophet. One of the most telling things that they say is verse 21, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. But we saw him die, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. In this, they tell Jesus that they do not understand what has happened. Because precisely because of what has happened, he is the one who will redeem Israel. After they get done explaining what has happened, after they get done explaining to Jesus of Nazareth what has happened in the life of Jesus of Nazareth, again, the irony, He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken." The Easter story can be dumbfounding. Even for us who have had 2,000 years to process this thing, it can be dumbfounding. Like, we know how death works. We know how taxes work, right? These are inevitable things. How do we reverse the rules of death? And when are we going to see more evidence of the reversal of death? We have this story of Jesus. We cling to it. But is the promise real for us? It can be dumbfounding to think about Easter. But then, Jesus opens up a Bible. Again, how many of you would have liked to have been there? Jesus opens up the Bible and explains to them just how he fulfilled all the prophecies. Tells them everything that he knows about Jesus of Nazareth, which is quite a whole lot. It must have been a long walk. They must have been walking very slow. And eventually, the story of Easter can feel very enlightening. They invite him to dinner. Jesus sits at the table with them, and he breaks bread. He takes bread, gives thanks, breaks it, and gives it to them, and their eyes are opened, and they recognize him. They sit at the table with him, and when he breaks the bread, they recognize him. They are enlightened. It's like, oh, that was Jesus the whole time? Boy, do I feel like a dummy now. And then you're like thinking back to like all the things I said to Jesus about Jesus. That must have been quite embarrassing to think through the litany of things they had just said to him. Their eyes are open, they recognized him, and as soon as they recognized him, he disappeared from their sight. It can be enlightening. And most of all, the Easter story can be transforming. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road?" Were not our hearts burning within us? Has anybody ever felt that experience of your heart burning? And I'm not talking about heartburn, the medical condition. I'm talking about something happening spiritually. I'm talking about God somehow reaching into your life. I'm talking about being touched by the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes that may happen, like if you're encountering God in prayer, or you're listening to or singing your favorite song, right? Or you went on a vacation, you saw the most beautiful sunset you've ever seen, and your heart was just burning. It can be a lot of different ways that God can reveal himself to you, but it's transforming. It's transforming so much that they had to get up on their feet. They couldn't just sit at dinner. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, right, the rest of the disciples, assembled together and saying, "It is true." To which those first ladies who came and visited them said, "Duh, we already told you." So there's a little bit of mansplaining happening here, I suppose, but "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Well, he appeared to Simon. Now we believe him. When the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. We now have several witnesses. We have Mary and Joanna and Mary Magdalene, and we have Simon Peter, and we have Cleopas and Mary, another Mary. I think there's three Marys here who have already witnessed the resurrection. And now the disciples believe. And they're all being transformed. Their lives are being changed forever. So how does the reality sink in? Just one more quick point for us. Because after the suffering of Friday and the silence of Saturday, how do we experience the proper joy of Sunday? This is a theological question, but this is also a question about our day-to-day lives. Because we experience days where we're suffering and in pain and hurt. We experience days where we are depressed. We experience days where we struggle to find hope. And we experience days, and seasons of peace and joy. We experience minutes sometimes of peace and joy, or minutes of deep darkness. We go back and forth in our lives. How do we make sense of it? How does it all fit? This story of Jesus shows us that it all does fit. Every bit of life fits. Why? Because every single second of the Holy Week story is a demonstration of the overwhelming love of the Father. And every single second of your life is a demonstration of the overwhelming love of the Father. Every ache and pain, every difficult time, every joy, every transcendently beautiful moment, every mundane, boring, get me out of here moment is a sign from the Father that he loves you abundantly, lavishly, and more than you can imagine. It isn't dependent on the circumstances of our lives, whether God loves us or not. The story of Easter that is in all things, God loves us. He so loved the world, he gave his only son, right? Jesus. He had to watch his son die the most horrific death possible. And he did it because he loves us. He didn't step in and save him. Jesus didn't step in and save himself because he knew that the only way for us to be saved was for this all to happen. And praise God, he wasn't left up there on the cross. He wasn't left down there in the tomb. But he is risen. He is alive. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. All right. So, they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. But perhaps they wouldn't have recognized him if he hadn't walked along them, walked along the road with them and explained to them all that had happened, right? So they had the word. They had Jesus opening the word to them and saying, here, this is me. This is my story. See? See how it fits now? You've been reading it maybe a little wrong all these years, but now do you see how it fits? This is my story. And at the table, he breaks bread, which we're about to do together. And when Jesus breaks bread, their eyes are open and they recognize him. I liken it to this. And this can be how our faith is, our life is. Anybody here watch the Travel Channel ever? Anybody ever want to travel somewhere? And it kind of ends at, I want to go there. Because, you know, you look at the price tag, you look at whatever. But sometimes you actually research, right? Whether it's watching something on the Travel Channel or reading a book about a place, right? You're researching, you're like just interested in what it's like in another place that you may or may not ever get to go to. It's like a roadmap, a guide. But we all know that no matter how much I know about Hawaii, I've never been there. No matter how much I know about it, no matter how many pictures I look at, until I actually get on a plane, or I suppose a boat, not going to walk there though, until I set foot on that sand or that soil or that tarmac, I don't know what it's like, right? And that's why we in the church, we talk about God a lot. It's important for us to talk about God. It's important for us to learn more and to understand. But we also do something so simple as gather at a table because we also have to experience him. Those first disciples recognized him in the breaking of the bread. So sometimes all it takes is a little piece of bread and a little cup to enliven us, to awaken us to the fact that this is really true. And not just in a theoretical, I read it in a book somewhere way, but in a, oh my goodness, Christ is risen and he is risen in me way. So may our eyes and our hearts be opened as we come to the table today. when I invite you all, I'll invite those who are maybe kids or who maybe just don't know if you belong at the table. That's totally fine. You're still invited to come. I offer grapes as a sign for those who just aren't sure if they have a mature faith or whatever to receive the bread and the cup. Little babies, I don't recommend grapes to either. Just, you know, choking hazard. But but I want everybody to be able to come to the table. And you don't have to be a member of this church. If you believe in Jesus, you're invited to the table. But that's where we're headed next, to the table. So may what may only be a theory in our mind, may it take root in our heart as we gather at the table today. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for your work in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you for the testimony of the empty tomb and the many faithful witnesses who saw you, who saw your son Jesus risen from the dead, and who have shared that story, who went to their own deaths in defense of that story. Now may we be faithful stewards of that good news here and now. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.